If we're going to call a spade and you want to keep the intensity high, you got to give a person a rest.
Yeah.
If not, let's just call it what it is.
High level athletes, they can blow through it, but the regular
99% of the people we have in here are not Rich Froning, Scott Pancheck. And that's their job. I'm okay with that too. Yeah. At this moment, I feel pretty weak and vulnerable.
There we go. So. I'll just keep playing it on. But where we left off was in terms of how we as coaches or teachers can gauge the success, not just by what's on the board or even quality of movement, but how somebody's walking through that door or in the gym or in the classroom.
Well, in around here, of course, we can always play the community card, right?
Yeah.
Are they involved? Are they enjoying their time? Do they come in, they interact with other people, or do they do their time, punch the clock, and get out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people do that. They're time clock punchers in the weight room. So before I had the brain fart, I was talking about at the high school, I always tell the kids, I'm not a yelling coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to yell at them. I'm not a rah, rah, pick up the F and wait. That's just not me. I'm more of a disappointment coach. Like, and they're like, oh, that's the worst. You know, like, yeah, you could have done better. You know, or don't worry. You're the one that has to look in the mirror every day. That type of thing, kind of sarcastic at them. But I think it is important that you have that pulse so that you know who needs pushed, how to push them. And because one of the things I learned is I like this masculine, feminine. I don't know if this has been covered yet, and immediately a lot of people, their brain goes to male, female, right? There's masculine females and there's masculine males. There's feminine females and feminine males. It has nothing to do with sexual orientation, nothing like that, nothing like how you look. It's about how you respond. There are those people that there are females out there. Let's just avatar this. 5'5", petite, whatever you want to call it.
5'7".
Okay, 5'7", petite. But they want you to motherfuck them. They want you to yell at them. They want you to just get that. That's a masculine female.
Yeah.
Once again, doesn't mean that she's not going to wear a dress and she's not going to play the role, whatever that means. But that's what she wants. You could turn around and the person right next to him could be the feminine female, and you scare the shit out of them,
mm-hmm.
and it turns them off, and they walk out the door. How do you know what that person is? How do you understand them? There's more to coaching than three rounds.
Yeah,
go. And I mean, there's relationships, but understanding that and having that impulse or hand on the pulse and understanding what type of person what they want and what they need. I think that's important, and we can gauge that. Are they excited to come into the gym? Are they getting results? So there's a lot of other metrics that we can play into it then.
For sure.
But also just how do they respond to you?
Yeah.
Do they laugh at your jokes? are they interacting with other people? Are they having fun? Right? Sometimes training is not fun. It's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Okay? But I think that's as much as like, did your numbers go up or did your numbers go down or whatever it may be, whichever the metric is, how they respond, how they're interacting in the environment. That's important. So
cool.
Finally came around to that, right?
Perfect. Perfect. So, it's actually a good segue into.
Are you a masculine male or a feminine male?
Oh man, I'm in between.
Okay.
I'm just kind of even keel.
That's cool.
Depends on the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
It changes based on the context.
I think that's.
For me, point. Personally.
Yeah. There's days that you want to kill something.
Yeah.
So other days, just calm.
If I'm deadlifting, I want to be the motherfucker, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm meditating, I just want to...
Yeah.
I'll get scared.
That's a good point. So, and I think that was definitely an eye-opening thing when I learned it a few
But there's
years
a lot ago. More dynamic. It's like you said, it's coaching is a lot more dynamic than, you know, just the numbers, just the movement. And I think with, I don't know, this again, this is, it might be a gross generalization, but with the advent of CrossFit, everybody got their level ones. A huge number of people just became coaches.
Yeah.
Just by getting your level one.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on their background, you might not have necessarily have that sixth sense developed yet. It's a skill that you have to.
Definitely.
As a coach, right?
And then we have also thrown everybody into this, well, thrusters and burpees, it's going to work for everybody. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your 20-minute AMRAP, some people are going to walk out of there going, next. And some people are going to be like, that was the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many variables, positives and negatives, and negatives.
There's multiple
positives. More people get more people in here doing stuff. Negative, is it really working for that many people? Or are you just kind of going through the motions?
Exactly.
So,
and one of the layers involved in coaching is programming. And
yeah.
That's another skill in itself.
Skill and an art.
It is.
Art and science.
Yes. And there's layers within programming itself. And we're going to keep it to Toby programming.
Okay.
One-on-one. And we actually were talking off camera, off tape, you know, how your approach might have changed over the
significantly
over the course of your career.
Yeah.
So we're kind of focused on how you approach it now.
Yeah. Okay.
So to kind of, I guess, narrow the focus.
Excuse me.
But what's your focus on programming now?
Programming now is...
What's your approach to it?
Well, there's always a plan. It's very progressive. Mm-hmm. Everything is built upon the previous week or the cycle or mm-hmm. however you want to play that out. The one thing that we've really changed, I guess come back to, is CrossFit's very frontal and sagittal, not a lot of rotation. And, well, we don't work that way as humans.
Yeah.
I mean, walking is a rotational movement in some form. And so we do a lot of other stuff. A lot. We probably... The traditional CrossFit, but I don't watch as many as I used to because I just don't. You know, strength followed by a Metcon. Well, what's a Metcon? Well, that's your ass kicker. Well, everything's a Metcon. Everything's conditioning in some realm or another. Get your heart rate up. We just do a lot more, I guess, strength stuff, but we do a lot of accessory work, believe it or not, within an hour. And it's all around quality of life stuff. It's about transferring the skill. I know what we can say. You know, CrossFit transfers over deadlift, pick things up, pick heavy shit up and move it. Yeah, okay. But sometimes we forget about the little intricate movements that we do as a human, right? Slowing down, deceleration, rotation, stop. Can you stop and rotate? Things like that. Those are things that we're putting in that I don't know if I see a lot of in other places. And it's taken time. And we've paid for it because we still have those members that just want ass kicking.
Yeah.
They want to write their name on the board. And we haven't written on the board. We haven't used a leaderboard in 4 years.
And from a business perspective, it's a tough selling point. But it's from a performance perspective.
Yeah.
It actually pays more dividends.
The philosophy has changed. The way we program now, and for a few years there, I was going out. I went out to a couple gyms and did a programming seminar, and I was, how can I assist you? I was willing. It was crazy how many, like, luckily I had a couple friends that took me up on it, but it's amazing how many people said, no, I'm good. I got it. Like, this is going to piss some people off. Like, are you that good? Are you that good that you don't need to learn something else? So I'm 40. I don't know everything else. We joke, it's like, I started this in 92 in some realm. I wasn't a professional in 92. So we've been doing this a long ass time, and I'm still willing to learn from somebody.
Yeah.
But you got your level one, dude. Fuck it. I know everything. Yeah. Fran. Cool. And I guess that's frustrating, but that's their business model. Run with it.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing we ever did, business wise, we did CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Probably the worst thing we ever did, CrossFit. We did an informal survey a couple years ago. We said, just members, just as we're warming up, like when you tell people you do CrossFit, what's the first thing they tell you? We had one positive response. One.
Wow.
The rest of them were all negative. They all said, oh, you're crazy. It's all the stuff you've heard.
Yeah.
Right. And at that point, we're kind of like, man, people are afraid to come in here.
Yeah.
And so now it's changed. Luckily, most of the people that we have in here have just come into the system the way it is.
Yeah.
They don't know any different, even though they think CrossFit's what they see on YouTube or ESPN. It's changed. So they don't know anything that's they bought into our system. Or the people that have stayed for a long time, they enjoy it. They feel better.
Okay.
Our injuries are, we don't have injury rates. We don't have all that crazy stuff because we've taken our programming and we've made it individual within a group setting.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
How do you accomplish that?
Ranges.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest things we do is we've given ranges and we...
What do you mean by ranges?
So, for example, boom.
So, hey, if you're listening to...
you're not going
to
see this.
You're not going to see this, but...
We'll try. So, yeah. You have to go to the YouTube channel and watch
it. Perfect. Thank you.
Before I get on that, one of the things that we've changed and evolved, and I see people write, 20-minute AMRAPs or EMOMs, whatever, all these things, or hero workouts. And I understand the reason behind hero workouts. I get it. You're honoring, yada, yada. How do you know what's the outcome of that?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're literally just throwing shit at the dartboard and hoping that something sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Like good programming, in my opinion, you should know exactly how long it's going to take, how it's going to feel, and it should be able to be a hit the majority of the people. So if we just write Helen up on the board and we do Helen, that should be a fast workout-ish, yeah. Right? Should not be a 15-minute workout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we always say CrossFit, constantly very functional movements done at high intensity. Well, what's high intensity? Well, subjective. Yeah. Some people can move it. For some people, their high intensity may actually be aerobic. They may walk around. There are people that will run 400, beat you, walk away and go... Next.
Yeah, exactly.
That's aerobic for them.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here sucking wind going, right? Anaerobic. Within that world, what's the goal of it? Well, if the guy takes 15 minutes, did he get the dose that you were expecting? And if you're just guessing. So I know what a lot of people do now is they're like, workout, time cap, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically, what's that? That's just kind of setting up your class. I got 15 minutes to get this thing done.
Do as much as you can in 15
minutes. Yeah, if this person still finishes in 6 and this person finishes in 14:59, what was your goal of the workout?
Yeah.
As a coach, you should know what the goal of the workout is. So when we put things on the board, one, we don't RX. We haven't RX'd in years. There's no RXing. We built everything off of, here's the goal of the training. You got to find it to get there, and here's the ranges. So, a lot of times we'll do things, we'll just do pull-ups, okay? So, if we say pull-ups, and we want to do, I don't know, we'll just write 3 to 5.
Okay.
Right? That gives you some leeway, mm-hmm. allows you to find the zone that works for you.
Okay.
So let's say we come out and go.
So are you going for the maximal perceived effort for specific?
Depends on what the goal of the workout
gotcha.
Is, right?
Gotcha.
Is the goal high intensity or is the goal aerobic?
Okay.
We do a lot more aerobic work in here
mm-hmm.
to build that base. And it may be mixed modal, it may be cyclical, running, biking, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of aerobic stuff and then we hit high intensity stuff when we need to hit high intensity stuff. There were days we did the traditional stuff. Today is bitch week. We're doing nothing but girls. And then next week we're doing hero workouts. And after 2 weeks, you're shredded.
Yeah,
you're sore. You're fried. And you're like, man, I can't recover. Well, does that help mom that has 3 kids and has to go home?
Mm-hmm.
Like she can't get off the crapper? No, like our goal is quality of life now. And we play within that world. So we give everybody these ranges and it allows them more individual saying things. So I'm just going to throw one out here. Let's just keep it really simple.
Okay.
Like Russian kettlebell swings
mm-hmm.
and, well, burpees. Burpees are always good for something, right? If you always need intensity, you can do burpees, right? So let's say my goal is a 30-second workout. The goal is a 30-second interval, okay. Right? Now, at the same time, if I know that I'm doing something that's 30 seconds and I want it to be high intensity, I have to give myself a rest, mm-hmm. Right? That's yeah. The other, I get just blows my mind. We're like, yeah, we're doing CrossFit, high intensity. We're going to go 1 minute max effort and you can rest for 1 minute. Are you going to recover in 1 minute from 1 minute of high intensity? Go sprint 400 from a minute and then rest for a minute and try to run a 400 again in another minute. You're not going to run in the same unless you're just some freak resilient athlete, right? So I know my rest is going to have to be longer. Okay. I know it. It's going to have to be 2 minutes in order to keep that up. Well, I want this to be 30 seconds. Well, if I do traditional stuff and go, hey, today we're doing 10 Russian kettlebell swings and 5 burpees. Okay. Now, somebody's going to do that in 12 seconds, 15 seconds, and somebody's going to rip those off in 10 seconds. Okay. So they actually finished in what? 25 seconds? Yeah, 20. Pretty close-ish, right? Well, if I do something like this, now we tell the person, the goal is 30 seconds. Okay. I want this to be high intensity for 30 seconds. You need to do Russian kettlebell swings in this range. So set number one, I want you to shoot for 10. You're going to do 10, and I want you to do 3 burpees. Cool. Time. How long did it take you? It took me 24 seconds. Okay, cool. Next round, I want you to do 11 swings, stick with 3 burpees, or do 10 and 4.
Okay.
It gives them, instead of sitting here going, well, this is what you have to do. Well, what about the mom that can only do 3 burpees in 30 seconds?
Do you
just now made that in a minute workout when you, so you missed your goal. You don't even know what you're doing. You're just guessing.
Gotcha. Is there ever an instance when, let's say you put the workout up, you have the range and somebody doesn't hit the lower range?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's a good coach do?
Expand the range?
Or yeah, adjust.
Yeah.
Cool. Adjust. So for the longest time, for the first few years when we adjusted, I did every single workout that I programmed to test it. Yeah. So I knew exactly to,
gotcha.
Like there were times that you'd hit it right on the second. You're like, boom, you nail it. And so that's where we go. And so if we're doing something like, well, what weight should I use? I don't fucking know. Pick a kettlebell that allows you to do 10 swings in 15 seconds.
Yeah. Two very good points. One, which you just mentioned was you actually did the work as you programmed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know anybody, but I don't know how often that happens. And
tested them every, I was always 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah. I don't know any modality, be it strength and conditioning, CrossFit, whatever. And then now my brain fart.
It's okay.
My turn. So keep going.
Okay. So, I mean, that's part of it. The thing about, this is where I sound arrogant. I sound like a prick. That's fine.
Go ahead.
I'll get exactly out of the programming what I want to get out of it, no matter what. If you want me to write AMRAP up there, I'll write AMRAP, but I can write that program. I'll slow you down. And that's a terminology thing too, right? If I said, Paul, we're going to do 20 minute AMRAP, or if I said you have a 20 minute clock, that immediately changes your mentality. AMRAP tells you to do what?
Pace.
Oh, well, maybe.
Depends, right?
You may know that, right? But the majority of people, unless you've taught them to pace, what do they do on an AMRAP?
Go
fucking balls to the wall and then hit the wall. Yeah. Like, whoa. And then they're like, whoa, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, if I just said we're doing a 20 minute clock and there's no scoreboard, does your mentality change?
Yeah.
Mine does. Mine's like, I got 20 minutes. I'm just going to.
Then you.
I'm going to just do what I got to do.
Then you pace, right?
Yeah, or find a pace. And that's the other thing we'll tell them. Here's what I want you to do. And if you've built up to that, so maybe we're going to do a 5 minute clock. We're going to rest a couple minutes. The other thing I don't see a lot of people doing is progressing. I don't see them building on their skills, and I don't see people building to get to where they want to go. They're like,
from workout to workout, or from interval to interval?
Workout to workout, week to week. Uh-huh. We're doing Fran, thrusters and pull-ups. Well, what if they can't do a pull-up? Well, we'll scale it. Mm-hmm. Well, Fran's 21:15:9. What if a person can't do one pull-up? You want them to do 21? Well, yeah, we'll just put a band on them. Yeah. He'll do a band, or we'll do ring rows. Like, how about you coach them and say, instead of doing 21, do 3 to 5. Well, I can't do 3 to 5. Okay. Do 1 to 3.
And then progress.
And then progressively. Or up to out here, you do 7 rounds of something that's, and then builds up. And so like we're doing an experiment right now at the gym, partly because I got pissed off. Right. And so every now and then I like to just do things spite. And so what we did is we did Helen, whatever that was, and we gave him this long break. And we slowly, over the 8 weeks, we've dropped the break. So what are we doing? We're slowly building up their threshold, right? So then next week or the following week, they'll retest it. And guess what's happened? Everybody's slowly, because they've gotten faster because we've, one, taught them how to feel it. Instead of just going Helen and then hitting it again in eight weeks, we've built up. They know how to find their gears.
There's not as, I think people forget about the number of variations you could add into adaptation.
Yeah.
And one of those is work to rest ratios, which I like.
And the other one that we do a lot of, we do tons of tempo work.
Okay.
Lots of stabilization work, lots of pauses, lots of holds.
Would you,
once again, I can make any workout get exactly what I want by just how I write it. I can give you.
No, that makes sense.
You want a 20-minute AMRAP? Yeah. I'm going to give you a 20-minute AMRAP.
Because it has a preconceived notion with it based on its name. Mm-hmm.
Because every now, I'm still a business.
Yeah.
I still got to play people. I got to give them what they want. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to get my ass handed to me. Cool. We haven't done any 20-minute AMRAPs in a while. Okay, let's do a 20-minute AMRAP. 20-minute AMRAP. Okay. Well, I'm going to write it this way. Well, let's just do pull-ups. Okay. So we're going to do pull-ups. I want you to do 15 of those. But you have to do them in sets of 3 to 5. What? Why not just write AMRAP?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to do, this is just spitballing here.
No, it's all good.
Okay. We'll do box hops. We'll do 15 of those bad boys. But you have to do them in singles. What did I just do? I'll throw it back to you.
Well, you're making. I don't say you're making it more manageable, but you're focusing on the actual development and the progression of the movement and the strength progression of the athlete. Could be,
possibly.
That's the way I was seeing is you.
If this is our conditioning.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But what have I done? I've slowed you down.
Yeah.
Automatically slowed you down.
With that, you can actually focus on the movement and the quality of movement. Going back to what you're saying before.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to bang these out, 15, and then I'm doing kipping, then my kip falls apart, and I'm just, you know.
What are the majority of people going to do when you put this on the board and you say, go, 3, 2, 1, go? They're going to do one massive ass big set of pull-ups, and then what? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then they're hanging on. We're telling you, do what? Do 3, drop off the bar, take a step. So what did I do? I created this aerobic piece. Because ultimately, a 20-minute AMRAP for most people that are not CrossFit Games is aerobic.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest, right? So why don't we train it to be aerobic? Now, hopefully we've done our job and built the strength here. You know, like side note, like squirrel, right? I'm a firm believer, like you shouldn't be doing burpees until you can do a push-up. But yet, fuck it, we're doing burpees. Well, how are you doing a burpee if you can't do a push-up? You shouldn't do a box hop until you can land. Have you ever watched somebody jump off a box and they land and they go like that?
Yeah, this is.
Let's teach them how to land first.
And I don't want to. Again, this is. I don't want to busy other people. I might piss people off too, but this is basic general strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
Concepts applied to
mixed modal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have actually a good friend Tom Rini who actually has. You guys sound very similar in terms of your approaches, and a lot of people don't want to hear that in the CrossFit world. But I think this creates better. Personally, I think creates a better effect on the person in terms of adaptation and strength development.
Yeah, and if we're gonna call a spade, and you want to keep the intensity high, you got to give a person a rest.
Yeah.
If not, let's just call it what it is.
Obviously, high level athletes, they can blow through it, but the regular
99% of the people we have in here are not Rich Froning, Scott Pancheck, and that's their job. That's their goal nowadays, right? Majority of the people just want to be better at something, right? So let's give them. something that's built and let's progress it. So
welcome to the intermission, the most epic intermission you will ever watch or listen to.
Very, very,
very epic. We are actually sitting down, so it's not so epic, but we are taking a little break to take the opportunity to remind everyone a few quick items.
Item number one, head on over to our website, unchartedperformance.com, and sign up for the newsletter there.
If you don't, our man over here, Liam Neeson, will come and find you. If you don't know Liam Neeson, you don't want to find out.
He's very scary. We're terrified of him. Also, if you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher, make sure you leave an honest 5-star review and a comment. You can do the same on YouTube if you're watching. You can like the video and leave a comment if you feel so inclined.
And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, on our screen, you already see all our social media accounts and where you can follow us. But if you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher and you need that daily fix of Uncharted and everything epic about it, like us on Facebook at Uncharted Performance, same thing on Instagram at Uncharted Performance, and Twitter at Reach Uncharted. And last but not least, and probably most importantly, something very cool that we're doing for the upcoming episode, upcoming season and moving forward is
Patreon. Patreon is a very cool platform. It allows you, the viewer, the listener, to pledge to support us and get rewarded for it, of course. What we also chose to do with Patreon is to donate 10% of your pledges to A Better Chance. It is a program that helps youth or kids and young adults both to get better access to education.
So without further ado, make sure to subscribe, follow, comment, leave us feedback. The more, the better. And back to the show.
Thank you.
Enjoy, guys. Take care.
One of the things we do in our programming is we build 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 50 seconds, minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and it's slowly progressing, and those movements may change. We may do multiple sets. So we may do sets 1, 3, 5, and 7, 2, 4, 6, and 8. Here's another thing that I really enjoy is instead of me just coming in going, today we're doing our strength, A, and then we're going to do our Metcon, right? Metcon is, I'm just call it Fran, whatever. Okay, what's Fran? Thrusters and pull-ups. You get two skills, okay? If this is done properly, shitty and short, right? We all know that we can scale it down and change it and all that. Well, what we'll do a lot of is we're going to say, and people want this, and we give it to them every now and then, but instead of maybe 21, 15, 9, we've done 3 sets of 15, right? So now you build those skills. And then what do we do? Shorten the rest, change the rest, change those other variables. Yeah. Well, what if I come in here and these 3 sets have 3 skills and these have 3 skills or movements, whatever you want to call them. So if this is your traditional CrossFit and you do, I don't know, front squats. Okay. You do front squats. That's a whole nother wormhole, right? 5 sets of 5. You got somebody that lifts 90% or super heavy and can dig deep into their central nervous system. 5 is going to fry them.
Yeah.
They can't even get there. Your newbie walks in and goes, next. I mean, you got somebody off the street and you have them do 5. They're going to walk in and go, that's dumb. Right? So this is your day. Well, you could learn 2 things and you did front squats. Whereas I'm going to go, okay, I want you to do these 3 skills. That should take 60 seconds. We're going to rest 2 minutes. 2 minutes, right? And then you're going to go back and forth. So instead of only learning 2 skills, I now gave my athletes 6 skills in 1 session. Think about that. Who's going to be better in the long run?
True. I want to play a little devil's advocate.
Okay.
Here. Because I totally understand where you're going. Is that too many skills in 1 session?
Possibly. Okay. I mean, depends on your athlete, right? It also depends on where it is in your cycle.
Yeah.
If I've built you up.
True.
Right? Now, if I just come in and go...
If you're throwing this up on the board from a day-to-day basis, and there's no, you know...
Yeah. We're taking a look.
Yeah.
I mean, also, how have I built to get there? If I come in and go, okay, guys, clean and jerks, and snatches, and I've never taught them how to hit the positions of the snatches, they're not going to be successful. So we do a lot of position stuff, liftoff, holds, right? Different positions, holds at different positions. And then 8 weeks from now, they're here. And the beauty of this is I can do this again next week. And what do I do? 130. What do we do the next week?
One
minute. And then before you know it, what are you doing? Oh, I don't care. We can call it 12-minute AMRAP.
Yeah.
Call it whatever you want, but I'm going to get out of it what we want.
Yeah. So versus doing Fran, you know, today and 3 months from now, you're actually developing the elements of Fran to then do Fran.
Exactly.
Right.
By changing variables.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we may still do it.
Changing those variables that are not just weight.
Not just weight, right? Because once again, if we write this up there, what's the goal? 3 minutes, 4 minutes, somewhere in there, sub five, sub six.
Yeah.
So if we don't use prescriptions, we just say, here's the goal, find a weight that works for you. And here's the beauty of it. After round one or two, they may miss. They may miss it by about 5 seconds, 10 seconds, or a rep or whatever. Okay, make the adjustment. This had 10 pull-ups in it. Cool. How many did you get? Well, I missed it. Okay. I want you to do 8 pull-ups. Make the adjustment. It's that easy.
Do you adjust within the workout?
We can adjust on the fly.
Okay.
That's the beauty of having variables.
Yeah.
Just on the fly. And there's more to it, but once again, I'll bottleneck you where I need to bottleneck you. I can speed you up where I need to speed you up. Knowing your movements, right? What movements can move fast? What movements can't? Like, one of my pet peeves is Tabata. Like, I hate when people do Tabata and they're like, 30-second planks. Like, what? Or 20-second planks, excuse me. It's a high-intensity move. It's supposed to be fast.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing 32 rounds of Tabata, just call it what it is. It's aerobic. You're just doing step aerobics.
Exactly.
Right? And people then do these heavy movements like, we're doing Tabata with clean and jerks. How many clean and jerks can you theoretically turn over in 20 seconds?
Not very many.
Full, right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's RX at 155.
Yeah.
Well, 155 for most people, like they're going to get one or two.
Yeah.
And not a freak. Well, if we give them the chance, like, or make the movement different, right? If you want intensity, there's how many exercises you have.
Set a zero.
It's small. Like,
sorry.
You know, I mean, so if I say, well, let's do something that's 30 seconds in duration, how many, theoretically, how many exercises can you pull out of our umbrella, our basket, that you can do high intensity, fast turnover in 30 seconds?
Less than a handful.
Burpees, maybe. Yeah. Most people are even slow at burpees.
Yeah.
Maybe a sprawl, which is a no push-up burpee, right? Biking, rowing, running, pushing a prowler. But people are like, yeah, we're doing high intensity shit, 185 clean and jerks. That's not, most people aren't turning that over fast enough, right? And then they're like, 30 second rest, do it again. Good luck. 8 rounds of that. By the 8th round, those people are doing one. So do you even know what you're doing?
Yeah.
That sounds horrible. Why are you putting it on the board? Do you know what the goal is? Do you know what the outcome is?
Yeah.
And I know in your notes, yes. Have you ever missed? Yeah. I've missed a few times.
Yeah.
I mean,
But to your point again, you go back and adjust, right? But
make
an
adjustment.
You don't get to miss if you don't experiment.
Yeah.
And you obviously, to your point, you don't develop as a coach or as an athlete if you're not missing here and there to learn from how to better program, perform the movements and whatnot.
Everything is progressive.
Yeah.
Everything. I don't need to do 20-minute AMRAPs or 20-minute clocks in order to set my time. We're usually pretty good. Like, this workout's going to take you 3 minutes. How do you know that? I tested it.
Yeah.
And I'm the average guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, if I'm the average guy and we're going 10 to 15 reps and I'm average around here, now I know I got some freedom out here, 9 to 10, I got some freedom out here. And if somebody blows that out, make them do 16.
Yeah.
Shows you they have capacity.
Exactly.
Right. So, but this is a deep wormhole, man. We could talk hours on this.
We can. And we've.
Yeah.
Because I come from a more of a basic, I don't want to say going back to the basics background, right? More of a strength and conditioning background. And then, you know, obviously, Tom being a good friend, this is very familiar to us, but it might not be very familiar to those listening or watching. And so if you're an athlete, I think this would be refreshing and maybe something you can approach your coach about in terms of, hey, you know, I'm not seeing the progress necessarily, or I'm not hitting the times that are on the board or, you know, that are intended to be hit because of, you know, maybe we're not adjusting the right variables, right? There's obviously, there's exercise, frequency, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think the ones that we talked about here are you know, breaking it up. And then the work to rest ratio is a big one in terms of taking these cool metcons and breaking them up into their kind of subordinate parts.
I mean, I always, whenever I start my presentation on programming, we always start with the Helen concept. I can't reach it. It's okay. Like, and I understand, once again, people are going to say, well, what about building threshold? Well, majority of people aren't walking off the street and just banging out a 7-minute frame or Helen, right? So if we, round one, person blows out round one, you know, so they just, intensity's high, let's call it a 2-minute round. Like, they blow that 400 because their adrenaline's running. Awesome. They come in, they hit their 21 swings and their 12 pull-ups and they're unbroken, right? Okay, cool. Round two, not CrossFit athlete, average Joe. Round two, run just got a little bit slower. So let's call this 90% effort, right? Mm-hmm. Round two, guy comes in. Now he does a 15 and a 6 on a swings. We'll call him unbroken on swings. Now pull-ups get broken up, right? Now he's at a 7-5. Run got a little bit slower. 80% effort, right? Round three, sucking wind, comes in, has to break the swings up. You know, the whole phantom thing. Ghost rides the kettlebell from overhead, walks back, looks like they've been just beat the shit, picks it up, takes the proverbial chalk break. right? Now does their pull-ups in 3, 3, 2, 1, heap of sweat, right? 70% effort, right? 150 to 240. So overall, their effort is 80% effort, right? I know that's very simplistic.
Yeah.
Is that high intensity? No, it's subjective. For some people, that's going to be shitty. But for even most people, let's just call it what it is. It's aerobic.
Yeah.
Even though it felt like they're going to die, they've now pushed it way out here. Whereas I'm saying, why don't we do this? This is how we'll do Helen, right? Come in, hit it. Rest 3 minutes. This took 2 minutes. Subjective, right? Rest. Full recover-ish. Now we're at 210. Recover, 220. Would you take a 6? And this is not good. Would you take a 630 Helen? Now it's a little different.
It is, but it's in the long run.
In the long run. So what's the next week?
It doesn't tax you too, right? Because you're also thinking long term in terms of the impact on the nervous system. Yep. Doesn't tax you as much. So yeah, you can not only recover during the workout, but obviously after it.
And then next week's 230.
Yeah.
Next week, 2 minutes. And then before you know it, you're doing Helen again. And you've built the capacity to do it instead of going, today we're doing Helen. Why? Just so I can kick your ass and you can feel like you sweated and got out of here, right? So that's kind of how we play into it. And
yeah, so for the viewers and listeners.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
You're just a listener. You can't see that.
Yeah, so if you're listening, we did use the whiteboard. So you got to get over to YouTube right now.
And it's very sketchy.
We won't look. You can pause.
Yeah.
No, but this is, again, it's CrossFit is about, you know, trying new things, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'd like to say it is.
It is, in its essence, right?
In its essence,
Essence, or any training modality. But man,
it sure seems like a lot of people get stuck on just kind of pigeonholed into some movements.
Yeah, and
you know,
and programming, right?
Yeah.
So,
let's be honest, it's easy.
So
5 rounds, AMRAP, EMOM. Well, all an EMOM is what? 5 sets of 3 with a minute rest, 45-second break, or whatever it may be. It's just written differently, and tirade moment, stop fucking doing EMOMs with like a 300 meter row where it finishes at the minute and now you gotta, the point of the EMOM is to give a person a break, to give them a recovery. If you're doing EMOM, odd, even, odd, even, odd, even, and you're not giving the guy any break, you're just doing conditioning, people.
Yeah.
Like, don't act like you're doing something special.
So if you, as an athlete, or if your athletes as a coach aren't necessarily getting the results that you're getting, don't be afraid to try maybe a fresh approach if this is fresh.
Sure.
And this is free.
Free I'll come to your gym for free. Yeah.
How can Toby assist you? He can assist you with programming, right?
I love it. I got beat up a few weeks ago because somebody said, you know, seems like you do, it's very repetitive. The training's very repetitive. So I thought, okay, I'm going to look. I'm going to see if it is repetitive. Yeah. Besides assessment, besides the testing and things like that, I have not repeated a workout in 3.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, the movements may be similar.
Yeah.
But there has never been the same workout.
The same variables included in the workout, right?
For 3.5 years.
Yeah. So again, it can be as simple as adding in that.
Yeah.
Adding in the rest and playing with that variable.
Changing it up. Yep. Yeah. Just changing it up. Changing your stance. Changing little things like that. Instead of box hops, box drops.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Work on some eccentrics.
Definitely work on eccentrics. Yeah. Majority of people from the athletic training world, the majority of injuries will occur in the eccentric rotational. Most people get hurt rotating and slowing something down. ACLs. Most of them are non-contact. Yeah. How do they get hurt? Because they can't decelerate. Well, so we do box drops, learning how to stop and hold. Yeah. We learn how to then. Everybody wants fast and sexy. And if you followed me on Facebook, the example I said was, everybody wants to take like the really hot girl home from the bar, right? So they go to the bar, like, look at her. She looks like she's trouble, but man, that could be a lot of fun. That can sometimes be CrossFit. Like, that shit looks fun.
Yeah.
Like, but she could be the person that kind of hurts your soul. Like, she's going to be fun for one night. You may get a couple dates out of her, but in the long run, probably going to hurt you.
She's going to ruin your knees.
Going to ruin your knees. She's going to hurt you. Your feelings. She's going to break your heart. And over here is the quiet person. The girl that dresses conservatively. She's nice. She's still attractive. And this could be for guys too. So don't blow me up and say, oh, you're sexist. That the girl is the girl you want to build relationships with. She's the one you want to take out for dinner, right? She's the one that you have to build over 3 years. I think sometimes we get too hung up on now, fast, exciting. I want sexy. I want clean and jerk. And I have no idea how to hold a front squat or a rack position or even how to dip. So when they dip, they just flare out and they just look like a train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so why are we not prescribing more dip holds? Why? Well, because it's not sexy.
Yeah.
Right? It's not fast. It's not entertaining.
Exactly.
But that's the person that you can build a 7-year membership out of.
Yeah.
Or 7-year lifespan. What do they say? The average CrossFitter's lifespan is like 2 years.
Really?
Something like that. It's crazy.
NFL running back.
Yeah. So.
But even though what you've done is, I guess, geared towards the average Joe and Jill, this doesn't mean you, as a higher level athlete, you can also apply some of this.
Yeah. So I program.
If
I'm fortunate to program for a couple people that compete.
Yeah. And you've had success in the past.
Yeah. But I'm not taking any credit for that. I'll be honest. We had great athletes. We got into the game when it was still a little early and you didn't have to dedicate 100% of your time. So that's changed a little bit. And our athletes at that time were great athletes. They worked hard and they're very resilient.
Take all the credit.
Yeah. But the people that I've kind of had a privilege of working with, and some liked it, some people don't like it. Some people still just want to get crushed. Yeah. And some people are resilient to be able to get crushed. But we do a lot of prehab work, a lot of strength. And now you're starting to see that. Like you see Bergeron stuff, and he's doing a lot of that stuff. And CrossFit Invictus or CJ, they're doing a lot more positional stuff. And you're seeing Power Monkey Fitness and all that, which are all great stuff. That's stuff that should be done.
Should have been done from the beginning.
A long time. Yeah. Like build the base. We're in such a rush to put the roof on the house. This is my analogy that we always forget the foundation. Everybody wants the sexy house, the cool house, the big mansion, but they forget to put the foundation in. The foundation is, can you just stand up in a good alignment? Like, if you can't stand here with good alignment and you look like this, you're going to struggle with movement. So why don't we go, we do bracing. We'll just sit there and brace and hold things. It's not sexy. It's not fun. Yeah. People hate it. But at the end of it, they're like, man, that was a lot harder than I thought. I'm like, are you drenched? They're like, whew. Like, yeah, awesome.
I'm doing Zercher holds right now. For this.
Suck.
They suck.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily feel them too much while you actually you're doing them. But you feel them the next day.
Yeah.
And it's I'm doing it specifically because for a competition, not necessarily for you know, CrossFit or in a Metcon, obviously, because again, if I'm just standing there with, you know, for 30 seconds, it's not, again, sexy, but I'm doing it with an intended goal and purpose in mind. And if you don't know what, again, to your starting point, if you don't know what the intended goal and purpose of a workout is, and worse yet, your coach doesn't, or he's just throwing it up there because it's something that CrossFit has prescribed or developed, just beware, I guess.
And I know we're running on time here, yeah. But if you want intensity, you got to keep it simple. So many people like, and we've done them, these long chippers and 50, 10 exercises of 50. It's a race to the bottom. It's a race to attrition. I can get a great, go outside, put no weight on a prowler, sprint that bitch 50 meters one way and 50 meters the other way, rest 3 minutes, do that 10 times, come back and see me. And here's the beauty of the prowler, right? Why is the prowler so beautiful? Great conditioning tool and no residual effect the next day.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if I said, hey, let's do Fran, you're probably going to be sore tomorrow. So is your training even set up to live to train another day? If you're so sore that you can't come back for 2 days, you got to start questioning things.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, right? You don't have to get your ass handed to you every day. Most people are under-recovered.
So here's my little disclaimer, because I'm praising you on your programming, but you might see me out there doing some of these crazy workouts.
Yeah, you should.
All in the name of charity.
And we've done them too. Yeah. I did it. We did a 24-hour row. That was the greatest, dumbest thing we've ever done, right?
There's a time and a place for it.
Every now and then, if you want to kick your ass, go for it. Yeah. But and is your lifestyle even set up to what your coaches have you doing, right? We always joke in here is like, if I had my way, the gym would open when the sun comes up and the gym would close when the sun goes down, right? Do you think it's healthy to be training at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and you've only slept 5 hours?
Yeah.
I just can't figure out why I'm not hitting any PRs and I'm not losing weight. Well, I do. You've come in here 6 days in a row and you're only 5 hours of sleep every night. How about you?
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
You're not set up to do CrossFit, right? And on top of that, you're getting the shit kicked out of you 5 days a week. Yeah. Some days, there has to be days in here where we just move. Like, well, what's the goal today? Move. How long should it take? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to
move.
I'm just going to bring this up. We'll kind of wrap it up. But one of the things I saw is you guys were just walking. One day was just walking.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was the part of the MetCon was just to walk on this, you know. But so, yeah.
Yeah, because remember, you can think you're getting what you want out of it. It sounds so horrible.
It might be,
But I'll get the dose that I want to get the dose.
It might be a lot easier than you think. Don't overthink it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, keep it simple. Yeah. There, kettlebells and burpees, just Russian swings and burpees, that'll mess you up.
Yeah.
That'll mess you up. Ride one of those bikes over there for a minute. That'll mess you up, right? Doesn't have to be sexy. But that's the thing. Unfortunately, they want the sexy. Where's the clean and jerk? Well, if you can't cycle clean and jerks fast enough, you're probably missing the goal. Yep. Unless the goal is do 30. Well, what's the goal of do the 30? Just do them as fast as possible? Why? Why are you doing it? Just put your name on the board? Well, I don't know. So that's how we've evolved. Bitter old me.
It's all good. Toby's tirade.
We could have gone a lot deeper.
We can. And actually, you never know. We might be back with Toby.
Yeah, come back. A selfless plug for, I don't know, if it's a shameless plug and I don't even charge anything. I'll come to your gym and shoot the shit about programming. I love it. To me, if there's something I take pride in, it's my programming.
So speaking of which, what's next for you, man?
I honestly don't know. I'm at Hudson High School as the strength coach there, and it's a lot of fun. We have this place. I do personal training. I do remote coaching. That can get kind of taxing because still comes down to people doing it. Luckily, I have a core group of athletes right now that are really just dedicated and do a really good job. I'm trying to build my nutrition consulting side a little bit. Like we were saying off camera here, that's frustrating too, because most people just, this sounds cynical, most people don't dedicate to it.
Yeah.
They're just not willing to put the time and the effort into it. And so that can become challenging because they're so tied to scales and other metrics. We were joking, is probably the biggest thing I see is, honestly, I see people that are under eating.
Yeah.
And so when you tell them, like, you need to eat 500 more calories a day, they're like, no, I'll get fat. So that's kind of where we're going. Mm-hmm. Where we're going to be with CrossFit, honestly, we don't call ourselves CrossFit anymore. We've de-affiliated. So we're just a strength and conditioning people. Okay. We'll just help people more into, in the ideal world, I'd love to even individualize it more than it already is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think semi-private group would be even better. But who knows? So ride the fence answer. I don't know where, but if I can help you in any way, more online stuff would be great. If I could work.
So speaking of helping people, how can I get a hold of you? Where can I find
you? Facebook, of course. Pretty calm on that lately. Instagram, and everything goes in waves. So like there's times I'll be posting all the time, and then times I'm just off. Instagram, Toby Jerging. Snapchat, Toby Jerging. Facebook, Toby Jerging. TobyJerging.com, which I need to update that. Haven't done anything with that lately. YouTube, all that.
If they want to email you, what's the best?
Toby@spcstrength.com.
Okay. So as always, all that will be linked up below. If you were listening and you've listened to this whole thing on audio, thank you. Great job. If you do want to get kind of more of a visual reference again, go back and get on YouTube for the second half of the
scribbles.
For the second half of the interview, check out Toby's scribbles.
Yeah.
I am Paul Wenzel. We are on Uncharted Performance. Toby's tirade is over.
Did we kill an hour?
Yeah, we killed an hour. You went off on the second half.
Nice. That was fun. I appreciate it. Yeah, anytime. If I can help in anything else. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.
Talk to you later.